Prince, are you here? Prince Lawrence, yes? From Nigeria? All the way from Nigeria. It's a blessing to have him here, and we've been partnering up with his church and the work there, and I would like him to give us an update or share a little bit on that. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good to see all of you.
Thankful for everyone who prays for us, and it's good to be here, and it's a blessing and an honor from the Lord to be able to stand before you all here. Earlier on, when our brother was sharing, he touched on the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go therefore. And my question to anyone who's not going therefore is, why are you not going? I just want to ask, why are you not going? What's your excuse? Because we're called to go. Whether you get to live there or not, it is a commission, it is a command. And how often we take missions as, you know, it's supposed to be, it's suggestive, it's supposed to be for those guys and not for me. We are called to go, therefore. And I pray the Lord that we'll be stirred up today after this to want to get involved, to actually go. Well, 21 years ago, the Lord graciously led me. I thought I had escaped Nigeria, and I was living in Europe, what I thought was a comfortable life. Well, thank God that chapter is behind me. But God wouldn't leave me alone. I was born in Nigeria. I grew up in a village where for the first 18 years of my life, we had no electricity, no civilization. So all the things that people know about life, I didn't know all those things growing up. But I have one thing, strong Christian heritage. Both my parents were strong believers. And my dad was the first one to break away from that, in that community, from idol worship and all that stuff, and just choose the Lord. And it brought a whole lot of persecution and exclusion. But he made a choice. And that choice we still have to make today. And every day we have to make that choice, living in Nigeria, as a choice of fear. But which fear is it going to be? The fear of the Lord or the fear of man? And he made the choice to fear the Lord rather. So I didn't make him comfortable in life. It tried his faith, but it became a proven faith and opened up the path for myself today to get to live in. And I'm a product of training up a child in the way he should go. I know it works, that verse. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So my dad was an orphan growing up. My mom, only child, didn't see the dad. When she was just a few months old, the dad had passed. But the Lord became everything to them. And they raised us up. I'm the first of seven kids. And I thought when I got opportunity to leave Nigeria, go to Europe, that, you know, I should make money, pursue life, and my dreams and visions and stuff like that, and help my parents out, help raise my siblings. And then the Lord there brought me to Calvary Chapel. 26 years ago, I met a Calvary missionary. Having been brought up in a Christian home, I was looking for a good church that teaches the word that I would be part of. And so it was Calvary in the end. While I was there, the Lord wouldn't leave me alone. He would lead and direct my path to a Calvary Bible College there in Hungary. In the fall of 2002, I began my first semester and graduated in 2004. I was asked to be on staff for another year. But within that time, in 2003, the Lord began to speak to me about returning back to Nigeria to go teach His word. I said, "Lord, leave me alone. Find those other people. I love these Calvary people. They're nice people. Find them. Send them to Nigeria. Nigeria needs this, but send Calvary people there. Not me." He finally found a Calvary person to send. The same one who was praying for Calvary people to go. It was a two-year long battle. But in May 2005, that man went. And I thought, "Okay, Lord, you won. And if I'm going to a place I've never been before in Nigeria, because I want you to prove that it was you. I wouldn't go because I know someone there or because I know places." But I went to Abuja, where I'd never been before, and I never met anyone that I knew before. I said, "You say you build your church. Now prove it." He has proven it. 21 years down the road, there are about 13 Calvary chapels that the Lord has planted all across the country. And they're thriving. They're doing well. Some in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Last week, I was visiting with some people one of the places, and we got to this village where in June last year, over 1,000 people Christians had been slaughtered. And we had to go past there and all of that. It's still a choice to make today, the fear of the Lord or the fear of men. And we know who the Lord Jesus told us to fear, not those who can only destroy and have a limit to what they can destroy, but to fear Him who is able to destroy everything. So I'd rather fear that one. And I know He'll keep us safe until our job is done, and then we can't do any more. And then whatever happens will be transportation home. Isn't that where we want to go, after all? But the Lord has us there, and He's blessed the work where we are at. So much so that He's given us visions for things to do. And we're at what we call now, we pray for what we call phase three of the visions. Phase one was to bring this glorious gospel back to this, the most populous black country in the world. More than 230 million people in this country, Nigeria. And with over 250 different ethnic groups and their languages, with English as a common denominator. My wife and I come from different tribes. We only speak in English at home. We don't understand each other's, so our kids suffer. However, God has been gracious, and it was two different tribes that fought a brutal civil war in the past, and it looked like it wasn't ever going to work, but the Lord said, "That's your wife. I brought the gospel because it's not just cross-cultural, but it's counter-cultural, and I want the gospel to be the bridge through these cultures that hate each other." And God has been gracious. So that was the phase one. And phase two is the physical structures and the expansions and the planning of the churches. And as God has led and raised people up now from our fellowship and has been taking them down to other places to plant. But the phase three is where the church begins to be of more value and use to the community, to the society, in more ways than one, than just the teaching of the word. In a country that people are so gifted but don't have outlets, no jobs and other things like that, You see people just laying around, the youth, nothing to do. The Lord gave us a vision to put together a Bible training place that would double as a trade school or skills acquisition. The Lord has provided for us to acquire an empty lot next to the church. It used to belong to a staunch Muslim lady, and then she'd been hostile to us for many years. We were just praying for her salvation for those years. 2 years, 3 years ago, she called me up and said, "Pastor, do you want to buy my property?" I said, "Yes, ma, but we don't have money." She said, "It's okay, I'll pray with you. God will provide." A few months down the road, God provided. The day we were signing the papers, she said, "I'm sure you were afraid I'll sell it to someone else, because I knew she could sell it to someone else for much more than what she sold it to us." She said, "There was no chance of that, because God instructed me to sell it to you guys." And so we have that place now, praying for God's provisions to be able to build not just a Bible training center, but and then the skills acquisition center or trade school, but also a Calvary Medical Center, because healthcare is basically non-existent. And we've had to sadly say goodbye to a few precious people because they just couldn't get help anyhow, and that's hurtful, really. So those are some of the things we pray for. And recently, next to that property, it opened up again, and they could have sold it to a mosque or a nightclub. But we got wind that they wanted to sell it. We prayed, "Lord, please provide," and he provided. And now we have built there a Calvary Sports Center. In the area where we are, we have no parks where the youth can play or kids and things like that. So the Lord gave that vision for us to put together some place that the youth can come. And they're very athletic, where they can just expend energy, but also it will be ministry opportunity for us. So pray about being involved, getting involved in these things. Calvary Philly, we are grateful to God for them being a channel through which it has been a great blessing. The Lord provided for that place, still needing some finishing touches to get it up and running, but we can see the excitement already in the air. There are places people are still calling us to come and start a Bible studies or start a church at. So the harvest seems plentiful, but so few laborers. Would you pray with us to the Lord of harvest that he would send laborers? We also do ministry to people who have been affected by the terrorism, who have fled for safety to the capital city. So we go to the refugee camps where they are. And for 4 years now, we've been running a school just to help, because they come from these places where they don't understand any word in English, but you come to the city where you need that to survive. So we run a school so they can at least have basic knowledge of English. And we bring food every other Saturday. That's what we can afford to do now, to bring food for over 400 kids at once. And sometimes that's the only food they get for maybe the next 2 days. They don't see any other food. So it's a very difficult situation, but great opportunities and great open doors. That's part of what the Lord has been doing. So much going on. And he's doing a vibrant men's Bible study, prayer meeting, women's study, and youth. And glorious stuff God is doing. And now we have people helping out in our children's ministry who themselves grew up in the children's ministry. the electrical work at the church was done by someone who was in the children's ministry once and has grown up in these years, and the Lord raising people up. Just a nutshell of what the Lord has been doing. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Ruben Will, here from Germany. Ask him to come and share.
We're really glad for this church here. Sometimes I think you don't know how much of a blessing you are all over the world. Just want to encourage you that your love and labor is not in vain. Even in Germany, we're being blessed by you, so we're really thankful. I'm from Germany, Minden. That's up north. It's a small town surrounded by other small towns, so the area is quite densely populated. And I wanted to start off with a verse that really touched me throughout the last months, really. And it's what Jesus said, "My Father is always at his work to this day, and I too am working." And there's nothing as beautiful as seeing God at work in this world, really. Whatever he does is life. And we can see that in our church. I was brought up as a Christian in a Christian family. Actually, my dad was a Calvary Chapel pastor, but I needed to understand that I was living a godless life. And a godless life can be covered in religion. It can cover itself in a nice outward appearance, but the Lord had to minister to my heart through his word and through his spirit that I was godless without God. I was deprived of the reality of God in my life. I was looking nice from the outside. People thought everything was good, but the Lord had to work into my sinful and resisting heart and had to reach out to me and find me in my distance from him. And that was a process that changed my life. When I got aware of his presence and of his reality, and that was when I was 22 years old, reading my Bible, reading the story of Abraham, and just picturing Abraham standing in the middle of the desert, looking in the skies, and getting to know a God he never knew before. And I knew from that point on I wanted to know God. I didn't want to know what others thought of God. I didn't want to know the God that others knew or the God of my parents. I wanted to know him myself. And that was a search in my heart. A desire and a hunger grew for his word. And he revealed himself to me in a vision appearing to me. And that changed my life. From that day on, my heart's desires changed. I wanted to walk with him. I wanted to walk with him as Abraham walked with him. And a few years earlier, I didn't know, and my heart wasn't with the Lord by then, but a few years earlier, and I started remembering, a pastor I didn't know had a prophecy. And he said, "You are going to be a shepherd for many people, and you're going to preach the word in Germany." And I started remembering, and I started asking God what these things would mean. And fast forward, a few years later, I found myself and my wife, my beautiful wife at that time, and our first daughter on our way to Minden. We were packing stuff, and we were off to start a church, to church plant. And ministry comes with a cost. Everything that is precious really costs something. And the first few years of our journey, the Lord really showed us that there is resistance against everything that he wants to do in this world. While we were packing, our first daughter almost died choking on a grape. We found her, and I don't know how, my wife can't explain to this day how she got the grape out of her mouth, but we almost lost our daughter on our way to Minden. And we went through struggles. Ministry is costly. We moved there. I had to finish my master's degree, started my training to become a teacher, specified on children with disabilities. We were in a new city. We had a new home. Our second child was born. My wife went through a difficult surgery, and demonic attacks started. We saw demons. We heard demons. We felt demons. Not seldom, my wife would wake up at night screaming. There was one occasion where I was gone on a ministry trip. I came back and she said, something laid on me and almost choked me. So we understood, we were on the right path because there was resistance. And with all these things, working while pastoring, COVID, trying to lead a church through difficult times, a newborn church really, but being attacked, people spreading lies, and my father going to the Lord, those 8 years were very difficult for us. But I don't regret going through them. But because where else would one want to be but at the side of Jesus? And we knew he was there with us. We saw him walking alongside of us. And I think that's the secret of missions and ministry, is that whenever we lay down our lives for Jesus, life will spring up. It is a reminder to the world what he has done for us, laying his life down for us and the life that it brought. And now there is a church in Minden with around about 200 adults and children. And we see so much fruit, so much beautiful fruit that only the Lord could ever bring. We just recently baptized a young girl that comes out of a messed family background. Her father died. Her mom is an alcoholic. We have a woman in our church who was married to a Muslim, and he was a drug addict, and he forced her to abort their third child. And when she sat down in her car, started crying, the Lord met her, saved her, brought her to our church. She's now baptized, and she's a new creature. We have a young man in our church who went out for party life, lived a bisexual life, a selfish life, but an unhappy life. And the Lord got to him through his word, and he completely changed him. And he's living for others now, full of joy and strength. There's a young girl in our church that got raped by her uncle, abused, full of hate. And the Lord helped her to forgive. And now there's joy and freedom and peace in her. We have drug addicts being freed. We have two young women that come out of the occult, demon oppressed. I was talking to them about crazy stuff that happened to them, and they got baptized and they started a new life in Jesus. I think sometimes we think that in our Western world, there's not much work to be done. I was wondering, why Germany, Jesus? Now I know there is so much need for the gospel. There's a man in our church that comes. He used to live a very religious life, and he was very angry. And the Lord saved him, and now his children have a loving father at home. If we see many people that come out of legalistic backgrounds, meeting Jesus for the first time, going to church for 70 years, and now for the first time meeting Jesus, being spirit-filled. And there's a beautiful family of Christians now in Minden. Tons of love, honest, authentic relationships, and just a story of God's faithfulness. And as Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to this day, and I too am working. And we are thrilled and excited to see what the Lord is going to do in future. And if you want to pray for us, you can pray for us for the Spirit of God to keep on doing what He's doing. I had a young guy come up to me and ask me, "So aren't you afraid that the things that we see happen here will one day go away?" And I looked at him and I said, "I know I haven't done anything of all of this, so I can't keep it, but I know the Lord can." And you can pray for us. We are looking for a place for our home, like really a home for a church family to live together day by day throughout the week. We are very close to each other, a place where families can meet. You can pray for my family, my wife and my two daughters. The oldest is 11. The younger one is seven, turning 8. They do sacrifice a lot, being at my side and doing the work that we are doing. And you can pray for me in the busyness of the work the Lord has given us to not neglect my personal walk with Him. Because that's really what changed my life, is having Him at my side, knowing Him. And that's the center of what we are and what we do, to learn to prioritize, to listen to Him, to know what He wants us to do, and to only do what He wants us to do. Thank you so much for your prayers.